Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
It's a Wednesday night. We don't get them every Wednesday, but we get them every other Wednesday, and it's time for another installment of SC Wild here on Sports Talk, presented by our good friends over at the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. As we get into deer season now around the state, as fall has arrived, and so a perfect time to catch up with Major Billy Downer from SCDNR. He's on the phone lines with us here this evening. Major Downer, how are you this evening?
Always good to be here. Thank you for let me join in again tonight.
Well, it's our pleasure. Always enjoy talking the great outdoors in South Carolina, and understand you've got a very special guest to guide us through this evening's edition of SC Wild.
Yes, I do. We have Charles Ruth, who is our big game project, basically supervisor for the whole state, coordinator, and we're going to be talking about our deer population here in South Carolina and the CWD, chronic wasting disease, a word that unfortunately we've had to become more accustomed to as hunters in this state and across the country. And Charles is going to give us an update kind of on where we are with CWD tonight and just talk about some of the things that we're trying to do to prevent it from coming to our state, and kind of really tell us a little bit more about it for those that may have forgotten what CWD is.
Well, Charles, welcome into Sports Talk. I appreciate
you taking
a few minutes
with us. Good to be back on your program. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, thanks, Charles, for being here tonight.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to assume that your viewers know a little bit of basics on CWD. I think myself or either Jay Cantrell have talked on your program about it before. As far as an update, unfortunately, since the first of the year, we've had three more states in the Southeast go positive with CWD. That would be Louisiana, Alabama, and right next door, North Carolina. So the North Carolina situation is obviously that kind of heightens things a little bit for us. However, it's way up next to Virginia where they documented it, right below where it had already previously been documented in Virginia. So it really didn't change a lot as far as our response plan. We do have a response plan, and that means how we would act if it was diagnosed in South Carolina or within 5 miles of our border. So that's kind of the new news as far as the distribution of it. And frankly, it's not a good situation nationwide. Now we've got four Canadian provinces. Kind of the holdouts in the Southeast are South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Kentucky. As the map would dictate, we're kind of getting crowded.
Sure. And so, Charles, a little recap. Chronic wasting disease is very, very, what's the word, contagious? Is that the right word?
Yeah, it's a prion type disease.
Dumb that down for folks tonight.
Well, a prion, we're all familiar with bacterial diseases, viral diseases. A prion is neither of those, and it's just a different type of I wouldn't even say organism. It's a disease agent. It doesn't have reproductive materials or anything like that. It's like a malformed protein. And of course, our bodies have zillions of prions in them, but sometimes prion proteins go bad. They get misshapen and then they start causing problems to the central nervous system. And that's exactly what happens in deer. The problem with CWD is it is spread from deer to deer. It is transmissible. Okay, and that's not good. In any type of wildlife, you don't want to have a disease that is spread from animal to animal, in this case, deer. it's 100% fatal. You know, the animal is going to, you know, the deer is going to die at some point. Long incubation period, meaning the deer can have it for, gosh, a couple of 3 years, and it doesn't look sick. But at the same time, it can be shedding the disease agent all along. And then all of a sudden, it starts, you know, the disease starts working on the deer. It's a neurological disease, so they kind of start getting goofy and losing body condition, i.e. chronic disease. But back to what I was saying, you know, they're, even though they're not clinical and they're not sick looking, they're shedding this disease agent in body fluids, you know, saliva, blood, feces, urine, things like that. And then, and other deer can pick it up. But it's 100% fatal. It may take several years for the animal to get sick and die, but they're going to die eventually.
Right. And so I don't mean to interrupt you. I want to make a point here. Charles, this is why when you say urine and body fluids is why, case in point, that we had the ruling come out in our state regulation about doe urine, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Over-the-counter and doe urine.
Yeah, and to the point, you know, what have we done here in South Carolina to try to help prevent this disease? You're exactly right, Billy.
Go ahead.
The natural deer urine, deer lures are prohibited from use. Now, that doesn't prohibit stores from selling it, because that's commerce, and DNR doesn't regulate commerce. But the use of them in a hunting situation is prohibited. You could, people, if they want to use what I call it, dopey, that's what I call it. There's tons of synthetic versions of it. In fact, that's where the market, the scent market, is moving in the synthetic direction, just because of CWD. So that's one thing we've done, Billy. The other one is the carcass parts importation regulation and what that's all about. And we've tried to do a bunch of messaging about that. In fact, if any deer hunter, you've all got to have deer tags. If you look at the messaging on the envelope, your deer tags come in. We've been doing it for a couple of years. Virtually all states have the same type or similar regulations, in that there's only certain carcass parts. Let's say you go to Kansas, which is a CWD state, and you harvest a deer. You can't just throw it in the back of your truck and bring it back. You can bring it back, but you can't bring the skull with the brain, the backbone with the spinal cord. The deer has got to be quartered or boned out. If it's a trophy-type buck, you need to have it caped out there. You just bring the clean skull cap back with the cape. The skin is not a problem.
And the skull cap's not a problem as long as all the brain matter has been removed, because focus on the thing that I think people need to understand, I want to remind them, it's the spinal cord, the brain, that is where the prions live.
Yeah, nervous
tissue.
So
that's got to be removed.
Yeah, and there's some other parts, you know, eyes and spleen and stuff that really, you know, people aren't going to be bringing back anyway. But I'll tell you something else, Billy. If hunters are hunting in other states, they need to check the regs in the other state, because if they're hunting in a CWD state, they may be actually limited within that state where they can transport carcasses, not just across state lines. And see, now that North Carolina has diagnosed CWD, we don't have that ability. In other words, a South Carolina hunter, or a hunter from South Carolina that goes to North Carolina and kills a deer, he can't just bring it back to a processor in South Carolina. Okay,
correct.
He's got to quarter the deer up, and if it's a trophy, he's got to have it caped and the skull cap clean in North Carolina. But this is not new. We've had that regulation since 2004. It's just now starting to affect North Carolina. And I might add that North Carolina has the same regulation, and it's more stringent because it doesn't matter what it's from. North Carolina's regulation is from any state. It doesn't have anything to do with the CWD status of the state. So, you know, people that have been trying to take deer to North Carolina from South Carolina for the last few years, they have fallen under that regulation. And again, this is not new. Most, virtually all states, if not all states, have these same regulations.
Just to recap for somebody that may have jumped in here, Charles, just kind of folks that may have jumped in on the show here halfway. We're talking about chronic wasting disease. It's been a problem in the deer community for years. Started out west, I believe. Charles, is that correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Yep. And it's been elk herds. It's been really pointed into some of the farming operations where it really got bad, which is why doe urine, the live doe pee manufacturers, where they have deer in small group, you know, in
captivity,
in small areas, confined, captivity. Yes, it's a problem, and it's been documented as a problem. And there's a lot of these pee manufacturers say they're CWD free, and that's fine, but.
Well,
we're going to say we don't want you to use it.
Yeah, well, you know, they can put whatever they want on the bottle, but there's no USDA approved test for urine at this point. Now there's some things
that
are looking bright.
That deer could be normal for 3 years, and you know, have no problem, no idea the deer's sick. So folks that are coming in here. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they're trying to figure out. Well, there is a test that they say can detect it in urine. It just hasn't been through all the trials, but from the USDA requires to get it, quote, approved. It's kind of like all these COVID vaccines.
Right.
They got to get approved, and what they're saying with these urine products is we've got something that works. But it hasn't been approved. So until that happens,
right?
We're not going to, you know, we ask hunters not to use it. This is all about risk minimization is what it is. And the thing, folks, right, about these body fluids is, and the brain and the spinal cord and carcass disposal, this prion can contaminate the environment, and you can't hardly kill this stuff. So if it gets in the soil, a deer could pick it up eating acorns or browsing or whatever, and you know, which is really different type of a mode of transmission. So it's not only spread from deer to deer; it's spread by environmental contamination. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So for most, what does this really mean for South Carolina hunters? For the most part, particularly on the North Carolina border, need to be very careful. Because if you're hunting across the line and coming back with deer on a deer lease, you can't bring that deer back, you know, whole. You're going to have to debone it, make sure that, you know, the backbone's removed, the skull, all those things we're talking about. But most hunters probably, I know a lot of folks that go out west and hunt and go to Kansas, a lot of people doing that now. They're taking that trip, and that is a state that absolutely we know has had CWD, and I know we've even had some close calls in our state with people bringing deer back, and fortunately we're lucky. But these states that have CWD, like Kansas and some of the states that folks go to, you've got to be extremely careful bringing that deer back, because not only are you bringing deer, if you bring a deer back whole, you know, you want to show it off, we understand that, but you know, you can get it mounted and show it off later. But when you bring that deer back and these parts that can be contaminated back, you're bringing something back that we can't stop. And it will destroy our deer population. So it's serious. We want folks to understand that. And from a standpoint from the enforcement side, we're doing the best we can. And Charles and our biologist group are doing everything we can to prevent it. Like you said, it's risk management. Just trying to prevent it as best we can. But it comes to our state, and it may eventually come. We don't know, but we hope not. But these other states around us are getting it. It's just something that we're going to have to deal with. In some states where they've had it, Charles, talk about when you get it, what has had to happen there.
Major Downer, I think we've lost Charles for the moment, so we're going to try and get him back. But I do have a question to follow up on this. If, as Charles pointed out, this disease is 100% fatal and there's no live test to find out, I mean, are we looking at, say, 10, 15, 20 years down the road that the entire deer population could vanish because of this? I mean, is it that severe?
It is a severe disease, but it is. We're trying to prevent that. Now there are some states where they've had to remove every deer in like two counties to try to control it. In Pennsylvania, I think what happened, or Wisconsin, when Charles gets back, I could ask him. But where it's been, they've had to literally go in and try to remove every deer they could to control the spread of it. So it's some serious stuff. It's just something we want to keep from happening in our state. We have a very healthy deer herd here. But if we got Charles back.
I think we do. Charles, you back with us now?
Okay.
I'm here, Billy, yeah.
Hey, Charles, what states, you know, talk about states to go hunt in, and we're talking about the states where I know what Wisconsin, Pennsylvania had it so bad they had to try to kill every deer in two counties. They tried to.
Here's what I'll tell you. Wisconsin was the first state, Billy, east of the Mississippi, and that was back in 02, 03. Prior to that, really prior to the turn of the century, it was a western disease. It was out of sight, out of mind here in the east. But when Wisconsin popped, everybody went, oh, my goodness. And they probably did something that, in hindsight, they shouldn't have done. But they were like, okay, we've got the disease in this area. We're going to send sharpshooters out. We're going to try to just eliminate the deer in this area. And that didn't sit real well with the public. And really, that hasn't – no other state has taken that tact. There are some states that do some sharpshooting, but not with the intent of trying to kill all the deer in that area. They're just trying to keep the deer population down to prevent, you know, deer from coming in such contact with each other. But, at this point, 20 years later, in that southern part of Wisconsin, if you kill an adult buck, it's about a coin toss whether it has CWD or not. So it is really taking hold, very high prevalence. And the thing about it is these deer are going to die at some point. And it looks like, though, interestingly, they're not finding lots and lots of dead deer, because – it looks like through research and so forth that deer that have CWD, even though they may not look sick, they're not 100% deer. You know, they are 80% deer, so they're not as vigilant. And we all know how deer, you know, they've got very good senses. And it looks like predation and human hunters are killing these deer before they actually start getting goofy and stumbling around. But that said, we know that it's 100% fatal, and we're going to start to see over time some of these deer populations in high CWD areas really start to fall off. And one thing I'd tell the listeners is when you start talking about CWD, you got to think slow roll, because nothing is fast about CWD. It just takes a long time, but eventually it's going to show itself in the United States with declining deer populations where you've had it for a long time. You know, I'm convinced of it, and the experts are as well. So, you know.
But again, we've got a healthy population.
Yeah, and one thing we haven't made clear tonight, Billy, we have not diagnosed it here in South Carolina. Georgia hasn't, Florida hasn't, Kentucky hasn't. Unfortunately, North Carolina has, but it's up next to the Virginia border. You know, we've been doing surveillance for it for nearly 20 years. We're going to really start amping that up and doing more surveillance in a different way. So, you know, we're going to try to stay on top of it.
Absolutely. So, Charles, I'm going to hit something. I know you and I both loved our deer meat. We're avid cooks. We love to cook it. We love to eat it. And so do most of the hunters in this state. So the question always comes up, well, is CWD, does it affect humans? They start, is it like mad cow disease? And the answer I've always gotten is, we really don't know.
Well, here's what they say. There's no evidence that it's a human health issue. However, the CDC says, if you know you've killed a deer with CWD, it's probably a good idea not to eat it. So that's kind of
of a big question mark. You want to roll with dice or not?
Yes, sir. Yeah. But, you know, typically in mad cow disease was a limited type situation. Normally these prion diseases, they don't jump species barriers. In other words, the prion disease in deer is CWD. There's a version in mink. There's a version in sheep. There's a version in people. It's called CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. And typically, they don't go from species, you know, from one type of animal to another type of animal. So that's where it stands right now with deer. And I'll tell you this: so if there ever is a human health connection, it's not going to be a good picture for deer and deer hunting, because who's going to want to hunt them? That's way into the future, and there's no evidence at this point that it's a human health issue.
Absolutely. Well, let's turn before we leave tonight, Charles. Let's do some reminders of how good we have it. Our deer population in the state is at what number typically, Charles?
Yeah, we're around 700,000. Everything's good. You know, we're not carrying as many deer right now as we were 20 years ago, which is a good thing. We had some parts of the state 20 years ago that probably had more deer than they needed. In fact, Billy, the area of the state that you're from and you live in probably had too many deer. I think to our hunters' credit, most hunters nowadays understand that you can't have a lot of deer and have good deer at the same point in time. They just don't work like that. It's all about food, and if you have less deer, there's more food per deer. And I'll tell you this: the last 4 or 5 years, our antler records program it's never been as good. So we're good to go right now. And I'll tell you, for your listeners out there that are deer hunting, it is time. We're early October. Yeah, I mean, it's my wife and I were trying to sit outside yesterday evening, and it was just about too chilly to do that. She was like, dang, I can't remember it being this cool so early in October. And, it doesn't make the deer breed or not breed, but it feels good to them just like it feels good to us as hunters. So, you know, the next 6 weeks will tell the story on our deer season, but I'm always optimistic. We don't have bad deer seasons in South Carolina.
Nope, you're right. We were very blessed with a very, very open deer season for much of this state. And the rest of the state will be coming in this month, the following season. By the end of the month, it'll be open everywhere. So folks could be hitting the woods, I know, looking for deer. Charles, just kind of recapping to our deer take.
Guys, we've got about a minute, if you can make it quick. We've got about a minute.
250,000?
Yeah, the harvest in recent years has been in the 175,000 to 200,000, and I'll tell you this.
And then our reproduction is the same, right?
Yeah, we've got good reproduction. If you look at the size of our state, our harvest per unit area is at the top of anywhere in the country. Right. I mean, we've got good deer habitat. You know, our deer aren't the biggest, but we can grow a bunch of deer, and our hunters benefit from it.
Well, Charles, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate the information you brought to the table. Folks, I hope you have a good, safe hunting experience the next few days. Remember, if you go deer hunting, one of the biggest things we want to remind you to do is make sure that you identify your target, what lies beyond it, before you pull that trigger. Because once you pull the trigger, you can never call that shot back. So be safe, enjoy hunting in our great state, and enjoy this cool weather.
Major Downer, thank you. Good words to end the program. Folks, hope you enjoyed this Wednesday. We'll be back with Phil tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, for Sports Talk.